Refugees. I think in the last couple of decades we have seen a diminution of compassion in Australian society. It's incremental. Society doesn't change overnight, but we have seen a reduction of just how much we care. This quote comes from Liam Piper, an Australian author who recently published a book about the Holocaust. He maintains a big flashpoint was the Tampa crisis in 2001. All of a sudden, for no discernible reason other than John Howard's likely defeat in an upcoming election, asylum seekers became a huge wedge issue, and ever since they have been demonised, vilified, and continue to be a wedge issue every election. Piper thinks it's very worrying the way the indifference we show towards asylum seekers now, after 20 years, can lead to cruelty, can lead to evil. He quotes Hannah Arendt, said to be the greatest political philosopher of the 20th century, when she says, "Sheer thoughtlessness can lead to great evil." Stories from Manus Island and Nauru bear witness to this. Nassim Najafi died because he received no medical treatment after an epilepsy attack. Kodaya Amini self-immolated because he believed he was about to be placed back in detention. Beth Uba and Sarah, not their real names for their own protection, were abducted and sexually abused. A 2016 leaked report from Nauru exposed what politicians had concealed, at least 2,000 incidents of injury, physical and psychological, to asylum seekers, self-harm, suicide attempts, sexual abuse, depression and PTS. Figures published in The Age at the same time showed that 88% of asylum seekers sent to Papua New Guinea were genuine refugees with a valid claim to protection, almost the same number as boat arrivals in 2012 and 2013, when 90% were legitimate refugees. We abrogated our responsibilities immediately by branding them then as illegals, queue jumpers, economic refugees, potential terrorists. The lies and scaremongering that came thick and fast set the scene for years of mandatory detention on shore, excision of mainland Australia, offshore processing, and the use of Nauru, Papua New Guinea, and Cambodia as dumping grounds. More recently, an agreement with the United States has seen 50 asylum seekers pass the extreme vetting process and gain acceptance in that country. But there is no indication of how many America will take, because Malcolm Turnbull has said the number accepted is Trump's prerogative. The detention centre on Manus Island is closed, but the remaining 2,000 men fear being relocated on the island because of past experiences with locals who resent them. What will become of them? Who is responsible for them? Piper says we must talk and keep talking about these things, bleak as it is, otherwise deliberate indifference creeps in, leading to acceptance. We cannot accept. So I am continuing to speak out. I exhibited my first body of work about refugees in 2013 at Cambridge Studio Gallery in Collingwood, opened by the Honourable Barry Jones, who said, "The dehumanisation of refugees, who become faceless, nameless and rightless, is our greatest moral stain since the campaigns to hunt down and kill Aboriginal people." That work was shown three times in different galleries and talked about those missing, lost at sea and locked up in detention. Each showing required some new work, demanding that I keep drawing, painting and printmaking. Each time I struggled to achieve power within the imagery that reflected the pain I knew the refugees were suffering. However, I did not realise for a long time, until my dear friend Jeanette Gibson, now deceased, was seconded to Curtin Detention Centre to work as a psychologist for 6 weeks, that the detained asylum seekers were addressed by numbers. I was shocked and sickened, because it reminded me immediately of the Jewish internees in the German concentration camps who had numbers tattooed on their arms. How could this be happening in Australia? What had these people done to deserve this? They had committed no crimes. They were victims fleeing wars for which we and our American and British cohorts are partly, if not wholly, responsible. Hundreds of thousands of their countrymen and women and children died, and hundreds of thousands fled to escape. Some came here. There was an immense moral obligation for us to accept them here and to allow them to create a new life. But not only did we lock them up for months and years, we removed their identities, took what vestiges there were of cultural dignity away from them, and reduced them to numbers. In my last exhibition, Let Us Call Out Our Beautiful Names became the theme. I drew and drew dozens of anonymous portraits, visages of men and women and children who might look like those behind the wire. Their eyes, of course, were so important because they hold the pain, don't they? They hold the desperation, the pleading, the non-comprehension about why this is being done to them. Then I researched the names from each of the races of incarcerated people. I found male and female names and some of their meanings, and did indeed find them beautiful. But the names had to be separated from the portraits, because that is what we've done, isn't it? We have deprived them of their names, separated them from what cleaves them to their birth country, their mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters, and leaves them totally adrift. I grieve for asylum seekers. I grieve for my country.